Well, what have you been up to this past week? What are you doing? I can pretty much guarantee that whatever it is that you have been doing and whatever it is that you are doing, you did not plan to be doing a month ago or 2 months ago. That the world has completely changed and all of us have had our plans change drastically. For me, this morning, and the same as last Sunday, I was not planning on preaching to an empty room, to a camera, but here we are, and this is our reality right now. My name is Dave Stimers. I'm the lead pastor at Westside Church, and I want to thank you for joining us here online as we adapt to everything that's happening with the COVID-19 virus, as we're social distancing and right now, trying to figure out a new way to live at this moment in time. And we're not sure for how long, but we know that all of us are being affected, but all of us are being affected in different ways. But whatever it is that we're doing now is not what we were planning that we would have been doing right now. And I've been talking to some of you and heard from some of you even this past week, and I want you to know that we're praying for you. There's a team of leaders here at Westside that are rallying to figure out how we can best keep you connected to our community, to the church. As the church, we are praying for you. We know for some people already this is becoming very difficult. All of us have had plans change. Some of us have had to cancel vacations, or we've come home from vacations. If you have kids, you know that your kids are with you now. All of a sudden, there's no daycares happening. There's no school happening for kids. So some of us are trying to adjust and figure out what that looks like. Many of us are social distancing. And so perhaps we're working from home or we're not working. And so we're looking at new routines and what it looks like to be at home most of the time, to be away from other people most of the time. For some of us, it means that our education plans have changed. That we've cut off a semester and we're not sure when we're going back, and we're not sure what it's going to look like and what we're going to lose. Like I said before, some of us are working at home and trying to figure out what are the things that we can do and what are the things that we can't do, and how are we going to do things differently to do that. For some of us, we know we've heard from some of you already that you've been laid off already. And if you're in certain industries like the service industry, it could be your reality that already you've been laid off temporarily and you're trying to adjust and figure out what it means to lose that income. For some of us, we're actually working more right now, especially those of you who are in healthcare, maybe even on the front lines in certain positions of healthcare. Your work may have really increased this past week, and you may be going into a season that is overwhelming and where you're dealing with tensions and difficulties and fears every day at your workplace that are incredible. We just, again, want you to know that in this time of uncertainty, we are praying for you, and we want to hear from you. And so our life group leaders and ministry leaders are going to be doing our best to reach out to you. We encourage you to reach out to us with prayer requests and letting us know how you're doing and what you're doing in these times of incredible uncertainty. There's something really unsettling that goes with that uncertainty, that goes with the fact that our plans have changed so much. And it's not just that our plans have changed. All of our plans have changed. But that's not what really gets to us, I don't think. It's not that the plans have changed, it's that the plans have to change. It's not just that we're working at home, it's that for many of us, we have to work at home. It's not that something's changed in our schedule for school, it's that we've been forced to change. It's not that we're just social distancing for a while and trying to keep our distance from people, it's that we're being forced to keep our different distance from other people. Even for us who are used to meeting on Sunday mornings and gathering with each other and greeting each other and being around each other, it's not just that we can't do that, it's that we're being forced to not be able to do those things. And with that comes a really steep learning curve that is teaching us about how little we actually are in control of our lives. If you think about that, when we realize that we're out of control, when something like this happens, and all of a sudden, something that was true before, but we didn't feel it in the way that we feel it now, but when all of a sudden something like this happens and it teaches us that we're really not in that control, there are these emotions that rise up in us. There are worries, there's anxieties, there's fear, there's pain in different areas of our lives, maybe even anger, trying to figure out why this is happening and how we're going to try and get back to normal and how long it's going to happen. And that is just so unsettling. to know that our plans have been ruined and there's just not much we can do about it except learn to live in a different way and learn to adapt to the situation that we have. And that is a really steep learning curve for us, not just intellectually, not just practically, but also emotionally and even spiritually. So today, what I really want to encourage you to do, what I want to teach you today, is to hold on to your faith tighter than you hold on to your plans. And this is a time where we've got to learn that, because we can't hold on to our plans. Our plans have been ruined. Our plans are out the window. Our social plans, our entertainment plans, our education plans, our work plans, most of our short-term plans, and even some of our long-term plans, we just can't hold on to them anymore. We're forced to let go of them. And so at this time, when that is the truth, and when we're starting to feel that, we want to look to what we can hold on to. And I believe that we can hold on to our faith. We can hold on to the fact that God loves us. God is present with us. God is leading us and guiding us. And in this interruption to our well-planned lives, God has something for us. And I think something even great for us. I was thinking about the book of James this week when I just was thinking through that reality that our plans have been ruined so much. And in the book of James, there's this really practical teaching on the limits of what we can plan for our lives. Here's what he says, James chapter 4, starting in verse 13. He says, "Now listen, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money.'" Now, during pretty much any other time, if I was preaching on this text here in our culture to our community, I would have to stop and I would really have to unpack that statement, because most of us would read that statement and say, what's wrong with this? That's life as usual. In fact, that looks like a pretty wise way to live. We're going to set some goals. We're going to put some scheduling around it. We're going to make a plan of where we're going to go, what we're going to do. We're going to work hard, and we're going to make a living for ourselves. Most of us would go, why on earth would you even bring that up to criticize it? That's life as normal. That's life how we're supposed to live it. It actually seems like a pretty wise thing. And so normally if I was teaching that, I would have to really camp out there and convince you that there was something about that statement that maybe we have to question or look at from a different angle or wonder why James is bringing it up in kind of a negative light. But right now, I think most of us are going to be able to associate really well with what he says in the next verse. Why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. See, most of us right now, we go, oh, I get it. Because I had things planned out. I had a plan. I knew what we were doing. I knew what my life was supposed to be about. I knew what was the next step. I knew what I was going to do next week or the week after that or even next month. I'm lining up not just the end of a semester, but my summer job. We've got plans at work to do this project and then that project. We've got social things lined up and conferences to go to and events to run. And we might have even have things well planned for the next weeks and months or even years. And all of a sudden, we just realize, man, we don't know anything about tomorrow. We're not experts in tomorrow. We don't know what could happen tomorrow. All of a sudden, we have learned that just so naturally. You can't avoid it now. If you thought you could really predict the future and really plan things out, this week, you know that's not true. And I don't have to convince you of it. What do you know about tomorrow? You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We didn't know we were going to be in the situation we're at now. And if we're really honest with us, we're not sure what this is going to look like in a week or 3 weeks or a month or 2 months. We have some guesses. We might have some hopes. We might have some things we're cautious about as we go forward. But we even now, we have to admit, it's not just that I didn't know we'd get here. I don't exactly know how this is going to play out tomorrow or next week or next month. And so we're in this zone where we realize this is true. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. James goes on, he says, what is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and vanishes. James here, when he talks about your life as a mist, he's using language that we read in the wisdom literature of the Bible, specifically back in places, books like Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures. Now, wisdom literature, so interesting in the Bible. James is the wisdom literature of the New Testament, one of the places we go for really practical teaching about how to live well, how to live the way that God calls us to live. And we see a number of places in Scripture, and here he's alluding again to that place in Ecclesiastes. But in the Bible, and I love this about the Bible, the wisdom literature, we see that there's a punch and a counterpunch, that there's different ways to look at different things. And when you're trying to figure out, how do I live wisely? How do I make good decisions for my life and decisions that are going to head in a good direction and pay off later? It's so contextual. We see that there's different ways in different times and different situations to approach things. And so we see that in the wisdom literature. And what we get a little bit in the Old Testament is punch and counterpunch. So we have one viewpoint, and then a viewpoint that gives us another look at things, another perspective. I'll tell you what I mean. Proverbs, if you read the book of Proverbs, which is great wisdom literature, basically says, if you do good things, you get good results. If you live wisely, then things will turn out well for you. But Ecclesiastes, which has this language that James is picking up on, where Ecclesiastes is always talking about your life is vanity or a mist. It's like on a cold day when you breathe out and you see kind of the vapor and it's there, you see it for a short time and then it disappears. It says that's what life is like. Life in that way can be meaningless. It can be absurd. It cannot make any sense. So where Proverbs says, do good things and good things will happen, Ecclesiastes says, you could do everything right and it doesn't matter. And it's a punch and a counterpunch. It's, hey, live wisely so good things that can happen. But you know what? Sometimes things unexpectedly happen. It doesn't matter how good you've been doing. Things don't turn out well. Look at Proverbs 15:19. It says, the way of a sluggard is like a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a level highway. So if you're somebody who's lazy, you're going to experience that life is difficult and painful and there's lots of obstacles. But the upright, if you're living right and doing well, it's like a smoothed out highway. It's clear sailing. Or Proverbs 19:23 says, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm. If you fear God and if you live in that respect and awe of how God's called us to live, then you're not going to be harmed, that things will go well for you. And there's a lot of truth in that. And a lot of times that's the way life works. But then in Ecclesiastes, you have this writer called Kohelet. He is the teacher of wisdom. And Ecclesiastes can be a really negative book, and it comes from the other side, again, that says, even when you do everything right, it doesn't always matter. Here's what he says in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 15. Then I said in my heart, what happens to the fool will happen to me also. Why then have I been so very wise? And I said in my heart that this is also vanity. Same idea. It's this mist. It's this here and then it's gone. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make sense. For of the wise, as of the fool, there is no enduring remembrance, seeing that in the days to come, all will have been forgotten. How the wise dies just like the fool. So I hated life because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity or a mist and a striving after wind. Hey, if you do good things will happen. A lot of time that's true. But along comes the writer in Ecclesiastes, along comes the teacher, Kohelet, and he says, you know what I've seen? As wise as I've been, you can make all the money in the world, you can make great decisions, you can move ahead, you can get all, you know what? Sometimes life just doesn't end up that you want it to. And even if it does, you know what happens in the end? Wise people die just like foolish people do. It's absurd. It's meaningless. It's vanity. It's like a mist. It's what James is talking about here. You don't know about tomorrow. I get it. You're trying to plan everything out. Here's what we're going to do and when we're going to do it and where we're going to do it and we're going to make a living and we're going to make some money. We're going to make a profit. It's going to be good. But you don't really know what's going to happen tomorrow. Sometimes life throws you a complete curveball. Your life is just a mist, a puff of smoke that can be quickly here and then gone. We see this counterpunch in other places throughout the Bible. Deuteronomy's big on this. If you do this, God will bless you. If you do this, you will endure curses. And then you have a place like Job. And Job goes from having everything and he loses everything. And the whole book of Job, he's trying to figure out, why did this happen? And his friends come along and they say, oh, Job, you must have done something bad and you made bad decisions. You offended God. You did this. And in the end, we find out none of that's true. Job is a great guy. But sometimes life just seems meaningless. And that's what James is hitting on here, using that language Man, you can have it all planned out and think that you can control everything. You know what? What's your life? You're a mist that appears a little while and then vanishes. Your plans can be ruined so very fast. And here we are. Whatever you were doing, whatever you were planning, whatever we thought was the next step, whatever progress we thought we were going to make, all of a sudden, so much of that has come to a screeching halt, and life is just going to look so different. And most of us, we didn't see this coming. This wasn't on our radar, that all of a sudden, really quickly, those plans have been ruined. And we get what James is saying here in this circumstance is really teaching us the nature of life and what it can be and what can happen. The limits that we have of planning our lives, knowing that it's wise to have a plan. It's wise to try and figure things out. It's wise to put them in place, but you can't hold that tightly to your plans because sometimes there's just nothing you can do about your plans being ruined. There they go. James continues in verse 15. Let's try and figure out, okay, well then, how would we approach life differently? And for us to learn in this situation, in our circumstances, how should we be approaching this situation? How should we be planning? What should we plan now? Or should we stop planning? How do we look at things in a different way? It says in verse 15, instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. So here comes an interruption, and many of us think this is a huge interruption that we don't want, but in the interruption, there's going to be an opportunity, and I think we're going to have the opportunity to learn so much in circumstances that we wouldn't choose and in spots in life that we wish were not happening. So what should we plan around if we're going to look at this statement, compare it to the other one, and figure out how to move forward? What should we plan around? Number one, Jesus is Lord. Look at that statement. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will. Now, James, who is the brother of Jesus, could have said, if it's Jesus' will. He could have said, if it's God's will. But he uses a specific term here. He says, if it's the Lord's will, if it's the Lord's delight, if it's what the Lord really wants. And for Christians, one of the earliest proclamations of Christians that we really stand on to say, what is our life? What even makes a Christian? We start with somebody who confesses, proclaims with their mouth, with their heart, with their life, Jesus is Lord. I will plan to follow Jesus. I will plan to do the things that makes Jesus happy, that delights him. I will plan to follow him no matter what else is going on in my life. That is a rock solid plan. Notice in the other statement, it was here's what we're going to do. Here's where we're going to go. Here's what we're going to make. James takes a step back and says, if it is the will or if it is the pleasure, the delight of the Lord. Jesus is Lord, and so we commit to following him because we believe that the wisest thing we can do with our life is live the way Jesus lived and taught us to live, that he is the path to life, and he is life. And so the more that our lives can mirror and be encompassed by Jesus, our Lord, the more we'll experience real, true, deep, meaningful life. Something else I want to point out, how important this is, that Jesus is not just the Lord of individual people, though he is, and again, that's really at the heart of Christianity, proclaiming Jesus as Lord and following him. But understand this, Jesus is not just the Lord of individuals, he is the Lord of the universe. He is the Lord of creation. He is the author of life, and he is the one who has defeated death. He is the one who is supremely in charge of everything, which means that there is no other supreme authority. That life is governed not by a virus, not by the stock markets, not even by governments, not by our bank accounts, not by our plans, not by what's happening with our jobs. All of these things, understand, are so important. All of these things make a huge impact on our lives. We don't ignore them. We don't push them away. But we understand this. All of these things are subject to the fact that Jesus is Lord. Jesus has all authority. Jesus is in control today and tomorrow and next week and next month. And no matter what we're going through, we can proclaim Jesus is Lord. We can profess our faith in him. We can trust in him. We can give our lives to him. give our fears to him, give our worries to him, and live in light of the fact that Jesus is Lord, Jesus loves us, Jesus has defeated death, and Jesus will make all things right one day. Praise God. If Jesus is Lord, let's build some plans around that. Number two, life can be reimagined. That verse, it literally says, if it's the Lord's will and if we live. So here's the first step. If Jesus is Lord, if we really believe that, it'll set us on a trajectory. And if we live. Now compare that again to that first statement. The first statement was all about, here's how we're going to live. Here's our plans for our lives. Here's what we want it to look like. Here's what our goals are. Here's how we would define whether or not we're doing well, if our plans are working out. But life can be reimagined. Just because your plans are ruined does not mean your life is ruined. And for some of us, we're naturally in this point thinking, man, what is this going to mean financially? And what if this drags out a little longer? And what about my business? And will my job be there? And can I pay my rent? And what about my health? And what about the health of our community? And we've got all these things flooding in. And what about if we just lose this time? And we lose the income for this time? And we lose social connections at this time? What's this going to mean for my life? What's it going to mean if I'm not moving forward in my life right now? It means that life can be reimagined, and maybe in these moments, we'll have a chance to learn so much more. Instead of saying, my life is only successful if it goes according to plan, we realize sometimes the interruption means God has something for us in the midst of something that we wouldn't ask for. And by the way, let me be clear, I don't think that this is we need to look at this and say, God is bringing a judgment through this virus on us. That's a dangerous place to go. We wouldn't know that. And I don't think it's a good way to look at how God operates when we look at Jesus. I think we need to be sober about it and say, this is a tough circumstance, but in the midst of it, we can change the way that we look at our lives. And I think we'll start to learn some lessons about what's really, really important. And so the third thing is, I think we should plan around the fact that success isn't the goal. Or maybe success, the way that we usually define it in our culture and our society, isn't the goal. We're going to go to this place for this amount of time, do this kind of business, and make a profit, make this much money. Oh man, what a quote-unquote normal way to live. What's your life plans? Well, I'm going to get this kind of job and make this kind of money and have this kind of lifestyle. I think we're going to have an opportunity at this point in the history of the world to start to learn some real lessons, reimagine our lives and start to redefine the way that we define success. And maybe success, the way that we have defined it, isn't the goal. And we're going to learn that just making more money, because we always talk about it anyways, making more money isn't going to give us the kind of life that ultimately we want. I think we're going to learn some incredible things if we're willing to learn at this time. We're going to learn about the kind of things that we really need in life and the things that we don't. I think we're going to learn about the resilience of the human spirit. I think we're going to learn about perseverance. I think we're going to learn about what it looks like to really live in faith. I think we're going to learn about what sacrificial love can look like at a time like this. I think we can learn about what it looks like to care and encourage people at a time that is difficult, that hopefully we can carry through in our lives, even when things go back to the way they were, or maybe go back to a new normal after this. Maybe we shouldn't be looking back to going back to normal, but instead to a new normal where we've learned some of these lessons, where we learn that we are all interconnected for good or for bad, and so we have choices about how that should work in our lives, that we can't just be individuals as much as we would try, that everything that we do is connected to other people. The decisions that we make have ramifications, and we can use that for such good if we choose to. I think it's amazing what James writes there. If it's the Lord's will, if Jesus is Lord and he's pleased, and if we're alive, not if we're alive and everything's going according to plan, but just if we're alive. You know, today, if you're watching this, you're alive. God has something for us. He has something significant for us. even when our plans have been ruined. Doesn't mean our lives have been ruined. But we can reimagine it and we can redefine what success looks like, to pursue selflessness instead of selfishness, to bring back real deep community, care for each other. James goes on in verse 17 and he says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them. So James has been talking about how uncertain life can be. He's been talking about how our plans can go up in smoke, that we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We're not experts in that. Our life is a mist. And instead, we should stake our lives on Jesus being Lord. Following him, reimagining our lives in light of that, together. And then he says, and if you know the good you ought to do, and you don't do it, that's a sin. When you don't know what to do, do what you know you should do. If we're in a spot today where we're not sure what to do, we're not sure, again, what to plan, we're not sure what life is going to look like in a week or 2 weeks or a month, when there's so much uncertainty, I think what James is saying, great, you're not God, you can't plan everything out. It's good to learn that limit. But when you don't know what to do, do what you know you should do. If Jesus is Lord, follow Jesus with your life. It's amazing, isn't it? Hey, for followers of Jesus, we always talk about how church is not a building. We always talk about how church is not 1 hour on a Sunday morning where we come together. We talk about church is the gathering of God's people. Church is when people come together to follow Jesus. Well, guess what? Church gathering of God's people, we now have an opportunity to prove it. To prove it when we can't meet for an hour, when we can't come into our building. To say, hey, As important it is for us to gather in one big group and all the benefits of that, we've always said that that will not define us. Well, guess what? It's now time for us to prove it. For people who talk about what's the most important things in life, to love God with all of our devotion, everything that we have, and to love our neighbor, it's time that we do it. This is what we've been training for. This is what we were built for. This is what we've been talking about all along. When we see people in need, when we see people vulnerable, when we see society in chaos, who's going to rise up and show people the love of God. This is one of those moments to say Jesus is Lord, and so let's love our neighbor. Let's love the people around us. Let's prove the fact that we follow Jesus. Let's show the world that whatever else is happening, Jesus is Lord, and that we can love each other and change drastically the way that this looks. And there's so many ways that we can do that. One of those ways we know at some points here, for a lot of us, the way that we can most love our neighbors is by physically distancing ourselves. And that's counterintuitive a little bit, but so important that we try to do our best to help not spread this virus and stop the spread of this virus. It's going to mean reaching out and encouraging people. It's going to mean offering to go get groceries for people who maybe are vulnerable or are self-isolating or quarantined and can't get out. It's going to be checking in on people. It's going to be making phone calls and making sure that we're staying connected. It's going to be asking people what they need and doing our best to respond. It's going to be thinking through how do we help people who have lost their jobs for a time, lost their income for a time. It's going to be sharing our resources. It's going to be living self-sacrificially because Jesus is Lord and he showed us that the greatest love is the one who would lay down his life for his friends. That's what it'll look like for us to live in faith, to hold on to our faith tighter than we hold on to our plans. So let me ask you this. What are your new plans for this week? And I know I just told you be careful about making plans and you don't know what's tomorrow, but in light of what we learned, what's your new game plan? What are you going to do in this moment of history? What are you going to do in response to the crisis that we're seeing? And it might be thinking through who you need to care for, who you need to reach out to, what resources you have to share. Say, how do I live my life in such a way that represents Jesus is Lord? How do I follow him at this time best? How do I stop thinking that life is all about what I can get and instead pursuing what God has for all of us together, loving one another and loving each other well? Might be for some of us, surrendering our fear, our anxieties, and our worries, saying, I'm not going to live according to fear. We need to keep up to date. We need to know our best precautions. But I'm going to live in light of the fact that Jesus is Lord, not that a virus is Lord. And so I'll do what I can to protect myself and other people. But we're going to fill our minds with the goodness and the power and the love of Jesus Christ, instead of allowing our minds to be filled with every negative worry and anxiety and piece of news that might threaten that. So I want to close by reading this psalm, Psalm 77, part of it. And it's a psalm about when the people of Israel came out of Egypt. And just as I read it, I would love for you to take a quiet moment and to think through this. And just know, when we talk about water in the ancient world, water and the seas represented chaos, danger, trouble, represented something that you don't want to face, uncertainty. And it's just as we're in this moment in our lives and in history where there is that uncertainty for all of us in different ways. To hear this, Psalm 77 says, when the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. When the chaos, when the trouble saw you, when we see the chaos and the trouble, we tremble, we get scared, we get anxious. But here we flip it around. When the chaos sees God, the chaos trembles. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters. Yet your footprints were unseen, or your path we couldn't see. God, you took us through the trouble, into the trouble. It was all around us. And sometimes it was hard to see the way, but your way took us not only into, but right through the hardship. Today you may feel and you may be totally out of control, but understand this, God isn't. So hold on to your faith tighter than you hold on to your plans, and may the peace of God overwhelm your heart today.
Hey Westside, thank you so much for joining us online today. This past week, you've probably heard the words isolation, social distancing, and quarantine thrown around a lot. And while we take those words very seriously here at Westside, we also take them as a challenge to try to connect in new and innovative ways. And even today, we are experiencing community in a different way. And we thank you so much for being a part of that and connecting with us. My name is Zach, and I just want to spend a couple of minutes to share some important announcements and updates with you. First, to offer some clarity as we all make adjustments to our lives, we wanted to let you know about our plan of what life at Westside looks like in the coming weeks. We will not be having public gatherings of any kind from now through till April 5th. And this is in light of the recommendations made to us on behalf of the Public Health Agency of Canada. So this includes our Sunday morning gatherings, our kids and youth programs, and our life groups. We will continue to monitor this in the coming weeks and let you know if this date will need to be extended. Second, we will continue to share online messages every Sunday at 10 a.m. And we hope you enjoyed our first YouTube premiere. This new feature allows us to watch and experience the message together. And we look forward to continuing to interact with you in the comments and in the live chat every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Third, while we may not be able to meet physically over the next few weeks, that does not mean we have to be isolated. I just wanted to share this quick picture with you from this past week. This is the life group that I am a part of, and on Wednesday, we connected online. It was so great to see some familiar faces and to catch up with one another, share what's going on with work and our daily lives. We were able to read scripture together and pray for one another. I am so grateful and thankful for this time that I can spend with my life group, and it's going to continue on, even if it looks a little different. So for those of you who are not connected in a life group, I would love to get you plugged in. Please email us at info@westsidehamilton.com or leave a comment wherever you happen to be watching this video. We really want to help you get connected during this season and make sure you have a church family that loves, cares, and supports you. Lastly, it's always our aim to be transparent with you when we talk about money and finances at Westside. Based on history, when we cancel Sunday morning services, our donations and need to fuel ministry takes a significant hit. To set up reoccurring giving or make a one-time donation, you can visit our website, westsidehamilton.com/give. Or if you'd like to drop off a cash or check donation, you can do so by leaving it in our church mailbox near the side entrance. Thank you so much for your continued generosity and support during this time. Well, thanks again for joining us and tuning in. I just want to say that we are with you, that we are praying for you, and be reminded that God is with you and for you too. And if you need absolutely anything, do not hesitate to reach out to us online.